It was our London office at the BBC that tipped us off to this next story. Check out the headline, "Behind the Balaclavas Embedded with a Ukrainian Separatist Militia." If you've seen the pictures from eastern Ukraine, there are a lot of armed men, and they are all men, with scary balaclava face masks, you know, just the eyes showing. Figuring out who they are is very difficult. If you ask them, they don't answer. In fact, they often just don't talk to reporters. But somehow, our colleague at the BBC, Paul Kenyon, managed to get the commander of a pro-Russia brigade to let him spend time with his unit.
When we first met this guy, Alexei, he was a building contractor. He was a man who had risen up through a building company, run it himself, and then had some political views, which he used to take on the streets. He would stand on a soapbox, if you like, and get very small audiences, mainly of elderly women. And that gradually changed. And so the next time we saw him, he'd got a lot more angry about things. And this, interestingly, was to do with the West, America and Europe, supporting what he would call the illegal government in Kiev. He then had meetings in Moscow. He came back, he had uniforms with him, he acquired a following of 100, 150 men. They were all in uniforms as well. At that point, they didn't have guns, but we met up with him again about 5 days ago. They all had guns. They are on a secret camp very close to the Russian border, and they live there and they train together. We said, where did you get these weapons from? You've been backwards and forwards to Moscow. Where did you acquire them? And this is what he said.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. Barack Obama gave us weapons through his politics. If he stayed at home and ran his own country and not poked his nose into others, there wouldn't have been any weapons, not in Syria, not in Libya, and not here.
So that's one commander. Alexei, what about the protesters in eastern Ukraine? What kind of people are they? Are they as determined and organized as Alexei?
They are, and we were in a position where we went to see some pro-Ukrainian troops, and these were a militia, a private militia, so they're supporting the Ukrainian government and they're supporting the West, America and Europe. And when we got there, they'd been surrounded by a group of pro-Russians who were all screaming, "They've kidnapped some of our young men." This escalated and escalated and ended up with all the pro-Russians getting into cars, setting off into the local town and taking over the police station in a matter of about 10 minutes. And this is what happened.
They're going in through every window of this police station now, and men are just running in there with balaclavas and baseball bats.
Yeah, that is a pretty dramatic scene. I mean, you also got access, Paul, to some of the town halls that have been taken over by separatists. Once you get behind the scenes in those town halls, what is the mood?
It's surreal. It's surreal because in one of the key town halls that was taken over in the city of Donetsk, you basically have 10 floors of people wearing balaclavas, skeleton masks. All of them have got baseball bats or chair legs, so they've all got weapons.
And the skeleton masks, those are balaclavas with kind of the pictures of skulls on them, so it's pretty scary stuff.
It is pretty scary. You do wonder why they go for a skeleton mask, because, they're only in the building and they're talking to mostly their friends and quite often their family members as well, who've all occupied these buildings together. I've actually got to tell you, when you get into these buildings, and I would look at them all and I'd think, you all look extremely threatening. Mm. So you walk through these buildings, and my attitude was that if I go over and try and shake their hands, some of these people have got to be reasonable. And actually they were. They'd shake your hands and they'd say, "We're making Molotov cocktails over here," or, "You can come over here and see we've got little old women making us tea in a corner here." There'd be little old women making tea for them and cakes. They would be pulling up their balaclavas to eat the cake under their masks. So this would be going on for sort of, you have to climb through 11 floors of this, and then on the top floor, above all the madness, there's a council meeting, and these people don't have masks. They're sitting there having a pretty surreal debate about the future of their region. But these are sort of local politicians, local teachers, local businessmen. And if you didn't know better, if you were just sort of zapped there from outer space and landed in this room, you'd think it was in a local town hall anywhere in America or Europe. It looks perfectly normal. It's only when you open the door and you see men with machine guns and Molotov cocktails and skeleton masks that you realise it's something different.
Yeah. Meantime, downstairs, it's tea cakes or Molotov cocktails. What's your pleasure?
It is. I've got to tell you, it's East Easter when we were in one of these buildings, and they were cutting up an Easter cake, and we were filming them and watching them. And I was thinking, you know, there's going to come a point where they're going to have to eat this, and all these guys have only got holes for their eyes, not for their mouths. So it turned into a sort of surreal comedy moment, which we decided not to put in our film, actually, because it was just so surreal, people having to lift up their masks to eat.
So now we're hearing Russia is withdrawing some of its troops from the border, and there's been this call for protests against its troops from Ukraine's richest man, as we alluded to. Is the tide turning against men like Alexei and the pro-Russians?
I think that's how America and Europe would like to see it, to, if you like, comfort ourselves, perhaps. But
you don't see it that way?
I don't see it that way, not on the ground at all. These people have gone so far that there is absolutely no turning back. When you get a man who used to run a building company, who's now got his own private army of about 100 to 150 trained militia with AK-47s and machine guns, this is a man who's not for turning back. And this is happening repeatedly through that area. So even if the Russians continue to back off, the word on the ground is these men will not give up until they're absorbed into the Russian Federation. So it becomes a fairly intractable situation.
That was the BBC's Paul Kenyon telling us about his time with separatist militia members in eastern Ukraine.